Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is a podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Welcome to episode
2 Spot 4.
2 Spot 4.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely. Fun one this time.
Yeah.
We had all the ladies.
All the ladies
house.
Up in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the brilliant Amy and Lucy from
our Big Gay Journey.
Yes.
Talking about the process.
Yep.
Trying to have a baby, how they're going about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Egg sharing.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is quite an interesting thing. We've never talked about that before.
No. Those two guys have been on the journey for quite a while, and mm-hmm. they've been documenting it in their YouTube video channel.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
Which we'll put a link to in the notes.
Absolutely. You should definitely watch it. And they're obviously big on Instagram as well. And
yeah.
It's just an interesting take on a single sex couple trying to get topped off.
Topped off. And then you talked to Professor Tim.
I did. I somewhat selfishly shoehorned in a question for Professor Tim about flying during the 2 week wait.
I mean, it actually would have been selfish for me as well, because I was going to fly.
Yeah, I mean, it's selfish, but it's for everyone.
We have to know this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else might be sitting at home thinking, oh, I was going to go to New York during my 2 week wait. What am I going to do now? Yeah. You know, it might just be me.
So hard. And then, yeah, you've got something to read out, haven't you?
Yeah. So following last week's episode, we had, we had quite a lot of emails, but I thought this one was particularly interesting. So this is from a girl called Kezi. And she said, I was so happy to listen to your recent podcast regarding OHSS, as I think it's something that really needs to be talked about. I have PCOS and I'm 26 years old and was told right at the start of my IVF treatment that I was high risk of OHSS. I went through IVF relatively okay. I had 40 follicles and at egg collection, they got 17 eggs. To my surprise, the clinic said I could have a fresh transfer. And well, I didn't argue. I thought it was a bit odd, but I was so desperate to have a baby. I didn't dare question their decision as I couldn't bear how long it would take me to get to that point.
Familiar.
Yeah, exactly. I think we can all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the days between egg collection and transfer feeling generally poorly, dizzy, bloated and painful. I did mention it to a nurse who said she wasn't surprised as I had been poked around down there. So I didn't mention it anymore and I didn't want to make a fuss or endanger them cancelling the transfer. 5 days after embryo transfer, I became very unwell with dizziness, nausea, shortness of breath, bloating, swelling and pain. I contacted my clinic who told me firstly that I was probably just constipated.
Great move, clinic.
Hell.
Well done.
Come on. And later that night, I was admitted to hospital because I became so unwell. To cut a long story short, I spent 2 weeks in hospital and nearly had to terminate my pregnancy. The good news is that the embryo had taken, but it was making me very ill. She's fine now that all
and
went well.
Fine.
The baby is fine. But I think, God, it just gave me such a shock reading this.
Yeah.
My clinic was so on it. They were all over it.
That's great.
They were not letting me anywhere near those fresh embryos.
That's great.
But, you know, I think it's just such a lesson to everyone that we've got to look out for ourselves. And if you are feeling out of sorts and you know that you're not fucking constipated, for fuck's sake, then I think we just need to be making a fuss about it and make sure we're heard.
You know your own body, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Great advice, mate.
Yeah.
No, great advice. Was a
good email and worth mentioning. Cool. Apart from that.
Yeah, well, we'd say re the party, we're in talks.
We are in talks.
So just leave it with us, but it'll be either April or May.
Yep.
Sometime around those 2 months. It'll be sometime
during the fertility fest.
Yeah.
We are just trying to work out when exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Cool.
More soon.
Yeah, but if you want to come, can you let us know? Because the more people that we know are coming, obviously we'll put up an Eventbrite page when it happens, but the more people who kind of give us an indication that they might want to come, the more confident we'll feel.
Exactly.
In the planning and execution thereof.
Yes. We've already had quite a few people say they want to come.
We have, yeah.
So, we'd be good to have more of a feeling.
And other than that, we'd love it if you could rate and leave a little review of us on, Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Yes.
And you can follow us on Instagram.
At Big Fat Negative.
On Facebook.
Big Fat Negative.
On Twitter.
At Big Fat Negative.
Or you can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
We love hearing from you, so please do it.
Absolutely. Right. Okay, guys. Enjoy the episode.
Bye.
Speak to you soon. Emma, how have you been?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Chilled.
Good.
What have I been doing this week? I have been watching a lot of Call the Midwife.
Oh, yeah?
Basically, all my friends used to watch it and they always used to be like, oh, it's so lovely. And then one day I tried to watch it and was like, oh, it's about people giving birth to babies. I can't watch this.
Mm.
So I just didn't watch it.
Mm.
And now I'm like binging on it. And it is like, it's like having a big cuddle with someone you quite like.
Okay.
It's like really bland, but you kind of need that in your life, you know? It's like under-seasoned chicken soup.
Okay.
But that's all you want when you're ill, you know?
Right, right, okay.
So, and it's just quite sweet and nothing really that bad ever happens.
Yeah, I mean, as previously discussed, I will watch any period drama going. Yeah. And it is a period drama, is it not?
And the outfits are really great and there's people with great hair. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite glad to be in a position to watch it, and I have been binging it. And also my husband made a few episodes, so I finally get to watch those. When I say made, I mean he did lighting on it. It's not like he directed it. But
and so you haven't watched it because it was for infertility reasons?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get bitter about your friends getting pregnant. I mean, this is like,
you don't want to watch Call the Midwife.
I think I would have found it hard to sympathise or empathise with any of the characters. I'd have just been like, fuck off.
Do you ever watch Mom Born Every Minute?
I've never watched that.
No.
No.
I've never watched it again, and I haven't watched Call the Midwife, but not for infertility reasons. Just because, I don't want to watch Mom Born Every Minute for a start.
No,
it just doesn't sound like something anyone should ever watch.
I never really put two and two together with Call the Midwife until I tried watching an episode.
Oh.
And then I was like,
oh, I don't want to watch this.
I was like, I can't watch this.
Oh, this isn't fun for me.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm on series 3 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was quick.
I've had a lot of time to myself.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's an infertility storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Lady can't give birth to a... Lady can't get pregnant, basically. And
it's all her fault. Nothing to do with the man, I suppose.
Well, so she's an ex-nun, and I'm sorry if I'm giving you spoilers, then just fast forward this bit, because I don't think it's going to ruin anything for you, to be honest. So she's an ex-nun, and at one point she sits down with another one of the nuns, and the nun's like, don't worry, God's got a plan for you. Which is religious, just relax, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I just got a bit annoyed with that, and then I just got so annoyed because I knew there was going to eventually be a miracle baby, and then I googled it, and
you didn't even wait to find out.
No, because it's in 3 series time. But basically,
so
sorry.
It takes her 3 series to get miracle pregnant.
I don't give a fuck. Like, come on, let's be realistic here. Like,
when's it set? Did she? What did she do?
50s. There's no IVF.
There's no IVF.
No.
There's no Clomid.
No.
There's not of anything, right?
There's not of anything. So, yeah, anyway, sorry to spoil it for you, but she gets a miracle baby eventually. Though I'm not sure how. But I don't think it's IVF, because IVF didn't come in for ages.
No, it's not going to be IVF.
So, just got a bit cross at that, because can we not just have, like, one realistic storyline, please?
I don't just think you can make that.
Can we not just have one realistic infertility storyline?
Not in Call the Midwife, probably.
No.
Let's be honest. Casualty? I suppose casualty. What would you have in casualty?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
They're probably just like a baby would drop out of the sky in dramatic fashion. I don't know. It's stupid of me to get annoyed by that, especially in my present situation. But I just think it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. So that was basically my week, getting cross at that. And then the other thing is that I'm like beginning to get a little bit anxious and consult Dr. Google more regularly than usual, because it's getting to the time that I come off my meds.
Wow.
So I've been taking progesterone and a buttload of estrogen.
Oh, so you've still not been on estrogen as well?
Yeah.
Is that everyone? Does everyone do that?
I think so.
I thought it was just... I've only got progesterone.
Mm-hmm. Bully for you. You should check with your clinic. Because, well, the estrogen is used to build up your lining, and obviously you were using stims to build up your lining, so you might want to just double check.
Yeah, I'll probably need to get some.
So, yeah, I'm, like, quite conflicted, because... Partly, I'm really looking forward to it, because right now I have 6 alarms a day and it drives me absolutely insane.
Mm.
And because I'm going to bed at like 8 o'clock every night, and one of the alarms goes off at like 10 o'clock and it wakes me up every night. Mm. I should change it, but I don't. So that's crazy. I'm just anxious, like, because it's like a crutch is being taken away.
Mm, I see.
Essentially. So I've emailed my clinic 3 or 4 times just to triple or quadruple check.
Definitely stopping.
And they're just like, yeah, just stop. And I'm like, just go cold turkey. And they're like, yeah, just stop. And I'm like, but I don't. And I've been looking up the science behind it. Do you want to know the science?
Yes, please.
Okay, so here's the science. When a woman ovulates,
mm-hmm.
the egg obviously drops out of the follicle.
Mm-hmm.
And what's left is called a corpus luteum.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't remember what it translates as, like golden body or something like that. Like,
not flaccid sac.
Not flaccid sac.
That's what I imagine it looks like.
Can we not use the F word on this podcast again? anyway, that corpus luteum lets off progesterone.
Right.
So if you get pregnant, it keeps letting off that progesterone throughout the first trimester of your pregnancy. Meanwhile, little embryo is in there developing a placenta.
Mm.
Placenta doesn't actually take over from the woman's body until like 10 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
So the reason that IVF patients take progesterone is to essentially mimic what that corpus luteum would have done. So I didn't ovulate, obviously, during my FET cycle.
Okay, yeah.
So I've been taking progesterone. Now, what I'm freaking out about is that my placenta hasn't taken over. My placenta. It's not mine. It's the baby's. But the placenta hasn't taken over, and I'm going to come off the progesterone, and everything's going to go tits up.
So that's just something that you've kind of made up in your mind as something that could happen, and not something that is an actual real present danger.
And I have been Googling coming off IVF meds, miscarriage, like in all its forms.
Mm.
Can't find a single post.
Every combination of words possible.
You'd think there'd be some person that it happened to, but no.
Not a single person.
Not one person.
Okay, not even a crazy person on a mum's thread.
No, there's a couple of people who've had like bleeds.
Okay.
But nobody's... As far as I can tell, not a single person has lost their baby as a result of coming off IVF meds.
Okay.
And yet I'm still freaking out.
Okay. Yeah, I guess everyone must worry about that a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it, yeah, you know, I mean, it's totally understandable.
I've had a lot of conversations with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, let's hold on to those statistics that you've managed to find of 0 times this has happened before. And just, you know, just grasp onto that as you free fall without the meds.
I mean, it's qualitative research, not quantitative, but yeah.
Yeah.
More to the point, how are you?
Hey, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah?
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 Yeah. I've fallen off the wagon a bit since my egg collection.
In terms you've been out on the lash?
Not out on the lash, I wouldn't say. But I have been enjoying white wine, which I hadn't been doing for a long time previously. And also drinking caffeinated flat whites with gay abandon.
My God.
I know.
Sacrilege.
I've really just, yeah, I've really regressed. And I'm kind of, now I'm doing that thing in my head where I'm like, right, okay, so how long do I really need to be giving up this stuff for before I'd have my, before I have my frozen embryo transfer?
Probably 0 days, if we're honest.
Oh, I don't know. I think, so I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but, you know, I was really smug when I gave up caffeine and I was like, yeah, I'm just drinking decaf and it tastes great.
Yeah.
And then kind of said the same thing to the acupuncturist. And yeah, was like, yeah, I have decaf every day. No. And she was like, yeah, decaf's potentially not great because of the way in which some coffee makers remove the caffeine is a chemical process, which if you're going all in on this kind of avoiding chemicals thing is kind of against the point, really. So you're swapping caffeine for something else that's potentially not ideal.
I just think you're going to be all right.
I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
I don't want to be really controversial, but I had a decaf latte about half an hour before my embryo transfer.
I think that's fine.
And I was okay.
Well, so what I was a bit shocked to find out that my plan of decaf all the time wasn't as great as I thought it was. So where I've gotten to is that I'm just going to have a little bit of caffeine. I mean, maybe the odd decaf. I'm just not going to go balls deep on either of them.
Yeah, that's
basically
right. NHS guidelines is that you can have one coffee a day.
Yeah. No, well, that's what the acupuncturist said. She was like, maybe you're better off just having a bit of caffeine. And I was like, oh, God. So, yeah. So at the moment, I am balls deep in caffeine, but I will probably be reducing that as
balls
I get
balls deep in caffeine.
Most of the time.
Oh, my God. The stuff we talk about on here.
I know.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh,
if I looked at myself saying this stuff, and you, like 2 years ago, I'd have been like, who are you?
What's wrong with you people?
You're mental.
I know, we are mental.
In 2 years' time, we're going to look back and have that conversation with ourselves.
Yeah. Like, I can't remember that time I gave up caffeine and
I was worried about the chemicals.
And, yeah.
Oh.
So in other news, I got my period post-collection. Mm. The old post-collection period. Wow. Yeah, that was something.
Not so good.
No, man. I woke up in the middle of the night in absolute bulk and had to like crawl into the kitchen and get the Nurofen and like bosh a load of them. And I don't, to be fair, I'm quite lucky in that I don't really get period pain. Okay. So this is probably the kind of pain that most women experience on a monthly basis. And it was just a bit of a shock to me because I was like, this never happens.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I don't really get period pain. I get the odd twinge, like on... I know a little bit about
the
it, but
odd twinge.
I'm definitely not reaching for painkillers.
I don't think you and I can be friends anymore.
Sorry. And sorry everyone out there who has really bad period pains, but I was just
like endometriosis.
Taken a bit aback by it. So yeah, I was boshing painkillers for a few days after that. And I also realised that it was the first month in like 18 months that I hadn't tried to get pregnant and was, it you know, holding out some hope that I was pregnant. So like I just totally breezed into the period. I hadn't checked my period tracker to see when it was due, hadn't worked out the day on which I would be officially in the late zone, you know, stuff like that, where I've usually worked out and I check my app daily. Just hadn't done any of it. It was just like not bothered.
I read someone's Instagram post today where they were like infertility is like it was something like some months hoping your period doesn't come and some months hoping it comes sooner.
Mm.
And that is.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it like, I was free for 1 month. I didn't care about my period. That's wasn't so even great. Waiting for it. Wasn't checking where it was. Wasn't hoping it wouldn't come. Wasn't really hoping it for it to come at all. Didn't really care.
Wow.
Felt good, man.
That
It didn't feel good when it came, obviously. That was something else. But yeah, it felt quite good.
God.
Freedom.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Anyway, and yeah, so in other news, I've got my checkup with a doctor on Tuesday.
With a fertility doctor?
Yes.
Wait, not just
any old doctor.
Getting your weight and height check.
Yeah, no, just going in to talk about my terrible periods I'm experiencing. No, so I'm going to the clinic on Tuesday to talk about, well, what happens next.
Okay.
Because actually, I haven't spoken to the doctor since the egg collection. I've spoken to the embryologist, obviously, lovely person, and I've spoken to the nurses. Also lovely people, but no doctor. So, because I mean, I've been guessing that I'll have a frozen embryo transfer around the beginning of March, but that's just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to speak to someone Tuesday and find out what the actual deal is.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I imagine they'll just go, whenever you're ready.
Oh, which will be frustrating, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as possible, please.
Yes, next week, ideally.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll speak to them probably about the New York thing and whether it's a good idea to travel. Or a very bad idea to travel.
And you know what they'll say. It's up to you.
Yeah.
If you think your body can take it.
Do what you feel is right.
Yeah.
And then I realised all of this stressing about whether I should get my transfer before New York or wait another month. I remembered what happened to you. And I was like, Emma didn't get her transfer when she thought she was going to get it. Then she definitely didn't get it after that when she thought she was going to get it. So actually me sitting here being like, oh, I don't know if I should have it on the 8th of March or the 8th of April. It's probably not going to work out that way anyway.
Mate, you'll probably be fine. It's just my shitty body. Like, this is the thing. I think, and I've had a couple of conversations with people about this. You just can't plan when you're doing IVF.
Exactly.
You can't make any plans.
Mm.
And if you do make plans, that's probably a month out.
Yeah.
And I think this is the thing that I've found hardest is in 2 years of doing IVF. I maybe went on holiday twice for a couple of days at a time. I went to your wedding.
Thank you for using up one of your holidays for my wedding.
Thanks. For thanking me. And
I've been waiting a year and a half for that. Thank you.
Yeah. I went to somebody else's wedding, but I used most of my holiday for IVF. Mm. And oh yeah, and we went on the like last minute, my cycle's just been cancelled holiday that cost us more than any time I've ever been to America, even though we were just going to Greece.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just can't make plans, pal. I'm sorry.
Well, the thing is, yeah, I realise that. And, you know, I'll speak to them about March. I'll speak to them about the idea of a holiday and I'll continue to consider whether or not it's a good idea to be in New York when I find out whether it's worked or not. Because that's a whole other concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I do need to remember that it might not actually happen when I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So chill out, maybe.
Yeah.
So,
I just like the fact that you went really posh just then.
I don't know why.
So chill out, maybe.
So, like, yeah, take a chill pill.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay.
In other news, I've been going to yoga.
Oh, you fucking smug bastard!
Yeah, I'm one of those tossers. But I. And in like, this is such a classic story. I think this happens to everyone who starts yoga.
Okay.
So I bought a 2-week unlimited class pass.
Ah, and I was like, every day.
I'm going to go every day. I'm going to be such a yogi by the end of it. I'm going to be able to bend backwards on a fucking penny coin, whatever.
Yeah.
And went twice, feeling pretty smug at this point.
Yeah.
Twice,
and, twice, in a row.
I'm going to say in 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just stopped. And in that 2 weeks, I didn't even manage to make my money back. Because, like, if you pay for 2 weeks, is the price, it's more than the price of two classes. So I'm actually down about £2.
So when you say I've been doing yoga.
Yeah, I've done yoga twice.
I take back those swears that I directed at you.
Yeah. I'm like everyone else that tries. Yeah, but I'm determined. I did enjoy it a lot, so okay. I am going to go back. I just wasn't quite as committed as I thought I was going to be.
God, I did a load of yoga at the beginning of last year because my lovely friend Holly, who sometimes listens, hi Holly.
Hi Holly.
It basically dragged me.
Okay.
And we went a lot of times, but because I live in West London, there are a lot of West London people there, and they were all so good at yoga. And I've got terrible balance. Like, I've basically broken both my ankles before, and I just can't balance on either of them because they're like Bambi's ankles.
Oh dear.
And I'm a big girl.
You're a tall girl.
Yeah, but like, you know, Bambi's ankles could not really sustain me.
No.
And I'm not very bendy at all. And I was just like by far and away the worst, even worse than like the elderly people. And there was this woman there who was about 7 months pregnant, who was a lot better at it than me. And at that point, I just got really cross and stopped going.
Yeah.
The pregnant woman really ruined it for me.
Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to keep going. I'm not good.
Okay.
Not the worst in the class, though, I don't think.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the worst in the class.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to keep going.
Okay. Well, you keep going. We can talk about it next week.
Sure I'll update further.
I'm going to ask you every week.
Yeah. How many times have you been to yoga?
Yeah, exactly.
And how many times have you been this week?
Yeah.
I'll start lying to you.
Yeah. I'll be like, what kind was it this time? Was it a vinyasa flow? Because that's the only one I know.
What else did I do? Don't know. Hatha yoga. That's a slow one for beginners like me.
Yin yoga. That's the really slow one.
Yeah. And there's one where you sleep. I did that one.
I do that every night.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. So it's like half was like a normal class of yoga, and then half was like sleeping with a weird, nice smelling beanbag on your eyes. And she came around and like rubbed tiger balm into my shoulders while I had my eyes closed, pretending to be sleeping.
Okay.
And it was quite nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with physical contact.
I liked it.
Okay. All right then.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to you updating the listeners next week.
So do I.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Okay, so hey guys, thanks for joining us.
Hello.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
So every time we do a podcast, we start off asking people about their journey. And you guys actually have a legit journey, because that's what your thing is called. So tell us about it.
You can go first.
Okay, hopefully you understand it. we have our Instagram link, which is called Our Big Gay Journey. Very imaginative.
And the YouTube as well.
Yeah, so we thought, we wanted to have a baby. So we was like, kind of need a bit of help with that, don't we? So headed over to the GP. Well, we kind of had an idea, didn't we, that we wouldn't get any help from our GP or anything. But we went over just to try and get a couple of questions answered. And he didn't have a clue. He just literally, what was it, he looked at his...
He had a squeaky bum moment. I'll ask someone.
But yeah, he went to a gynaecologist, and then the next thing, we got a letter through the post that said, oh, we've referred you to a fertility clinic, and we were like, ah, amazing.
Okay.
Okay.
Because at this point, we were just after questions and answers. Yeah. So I was like, okay, we've got a referral.
So when we've got to this clinic, they just did all their tests and everything, and we ended up doing the 3 IUIs, which unfortunately didn't work. We're currently, where are we at, like?
So when the 3 IUIs failed, we looked at doing like egg sharing, because IVF is very expensive.
So what exactly is egg sharing?
So egg sharing is like a normal IVF cycle, but when you do your egg collection, half of your eggs will be donated to an unknown recipient.
Okay.
So that's great to be able to help someone that's... Yeah. No doubt been struggling for a very long time, and help ourselves at the same time.
Yeah, because it kind of reduces the cost for us.
Okay.
So I don't know, to be honest, I think, was it between 6,000 and 10,000, which then, because you have to pay for your sperm as well. So it takes the price down to maybe...
£1,500?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's a massive difference.
That's incredible.
And considering we've already spent, what, £6,000-£7,000 on just the IUIs, so it was like... We needed the help, otherwise they'd have to take a big long break.
So the NHS, you didn't get anything on the NHS?
No. So the way the NHS works at the moment, it's again like the postcode lottery, as everyone else is. Mm-hmm. But where we are in London, you have to pay for 6 IUIs. So you pay for, being at an NHS clinic, you only actually have to pay for the actual IUI procedure itself.
Okay.
So and the medication and the sperm.
Uh-huh.
And then like all the consultations and the scans were free.
Okay. Well,
but then they put you on a waiting list. If you get 6 failed ones, they put you on the waiting list, and then you get your IVF.
One round for free.
Okay. God, that's so convoluted.
Yeah. And so it's different everywhere as well.
Yeah. So you already had to go through this sperm donation process at that point. How did that go down? Was it fun?
Yeah, I imagine it being quite fun. It was like online shopping. It was great fun. We, having, like, the bank, well, at our NHS clinic, they didn't have a bank affiliated with the clinic, so they recommended 2 sperm banks, which was European Sperm Bank and Zytex, which is in America. So we started shopping
absolutely there. Like, so we loved the European one, and we went to, you know, the fairs that they have on, we went to them and spoke to them at the, what they called?
Fertility show?
Yeah, the booths.
We went and spoke to them at the booths, and we did really like the European Sperm Bank.
They just didn't have as much choice as Zytex.
They didn't have as much choice. And Zytex, like, was amazing. Like Lou said, it was online shopping. You could look at baby pictures and adult pictures of the donor.
Which you don't get anywhere in the UK. And that's the only website that we've seen, even in America, that gives that kind of information.
So you don't get photos in the UK?
No, it's not allowed.
So basic in the UK.
And that is kind of important, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we thought. Some people don't like to see the pictures. So you can.
I wanted to see a picture.
We wanted to see a picture.
I mean, to be fair, we had this exact conversation with Jocelyn, didn't we, a few episodes ago? Like, that is how we choose a mate.
Exactly.
Humans, like, you go for someone hot. Right?
Yeah, this is exactly what I said.
That's how we kind of narrowed it down. We didn't really have any characteristics that we were looking for. We just went through the pictures. And was like, he's cute. We'll look at them in more detail.
And then we looked at what was written about them. So we did take what was written into account as well. And like,
but after you'd been doing.
After we'd kind of narrowed them down from the photos. He's beautiful though.
Yeah.
Like, I would marry him.
All right.
Tell me about him. Yeah. What does he do? Don't have things like names, right?
So we shared 5 facts about him, with like friends and family and things. Okay. So
we decided not to share anything else because we wanted to make sure when our kid is born, and we want them to be the first people who read his profile in full.
Okay.
Other than us.
Oh,
so what did we share though? He's ambidextrous.
Oh, which wow. I thought was intriguing.
Cool. I'll find the picture.
That's so mysterious.
He had a degree in business finance.
Mm-hmm. Good, solid.
Mm-hmm.
He was tallish. I can't remember the exact height. He was tall enough.
Dark hair and dark eyes.
Okay.
Mm, so that's nice. What we've chosen to share with
Very
people.
Very good.
Oh my god.
Don't need to look for my picture in now.
Oh my god. And so you've had his sperm for all three IUIs.
Yep.
And then now for IVF as well.
Oh, there's a story behind that one though. Yeah.
Go on.
We wanted to keep him.
Because you're in a relationship.
We spent a lot of time choosing him, so we didn't want to change because we had an attachment with him. We'd kind of planned to have a baby with him in
You'd
a way.
You'd fallen in love with him. Yeah.
And yeah, so when we went to the new private clinic, because the NHS one didn't offer egg sharing, so we had to go to a private clinic, they didn't have a license to import from America. So if you're out... So only certain clinics in the UK have licenses to do that. But we kicked up enough of a fuss that they spoke to the HFEA and got special authorization for us.
I was on my lunch break at work and I got a text off Lucy saying we couldn't use him. I put my sandwich down out of my when I was in the queue for Costa for a strop so I didn't get my coffee. And I rang the HFEA and I'm on the phone today. But it worked, you know.
It worked.
Oh my god. Did you cry? Did you bring out the tears?
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't cry. I was a bit more level-headed.
Oh no, I was just really angry and sat in the canteen crying. And then when I came back around, I realised I really wanted that coffee that was in the queue for.
It took us about... How long did it take to get sorted? About a week?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's really quick.
Yeah.
We pestered them a lot.
To actually change something within a clinic.
Yeah.
No, just goes to show that if you are willing to be pushy, you can probably do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Totally.
And I think that's why, I work in the NHS and you get parents which are really pushy and it can be really frustrating for you, but at the same time you kind of understand why people are pushy. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not pushy, you're not going to get anywhere, and that's actually how it shows.
Yeah. Closed mouths don't get fed.
This is what I always think about, because I remember when I was waiting for my second laparoscopy, they were like, it's a 12-week wait. And then I had to go for some kind of pre-op thing. And that was about 4 weeks after I got referred. And then at the appointment, the guy was like, it's a 12-week wait. And I was like, from now? And he was like, yes.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what the actual fuck? And phoned... First of all, I phoned the clinic. They didn't know who to speak to, so they referred me to a different part of the hospital. Who referred me to a different part of the hospital, who finally told me the name of the person who, like, books the appointments, but they gave it to me on, like, the DL. They were like, do not tell anyone I've given you. And so I phoned this woman, this poor woman, whose name was Miriam.
Like, you're telling everyone now.
Yeah.
Good old Miriam.
Can't remember her surname, can't remember her job title. But she was like... Basically, I phoned her every day and was like, have you got any cancellations? And then she was finally like, look, I can put you on a list for next week. And I was like,
she was amazing.
She was probably like looking at phone and, oh my gosh, have I got to answer?
Exactly. And then I was like, oh God, do you know you've changed my life? Like, you've helped me so much. Thank you so much. Like, what you do is so important.
Or she'd have loved her then.
Well, I just made sure that she knew. Because
I'm sure that made her day.
Yeah, like, she works in shitty admin. Like, her job was fucking thankless. So I was just like, she sounded, every time she answered the phone, she's like, hello.
It's the person that first clinic that we were at there, she was always on the desk. She looked so miserable all the time. And every time I was like, hiya, good morning. I just felt like I had to, we left, I was like, Lucy, can we buy her some chocolate?
Yeah. I'm going to get that woman to smile.
Yeah.
We've not actually told them that we've left yet, though.
So you've won and you've got your sperm.
We won.
You got your guy.
We've got 3 vials of it, just as, just in case.
How much does it take to fertilise some eggs?
They'll use one vial per go, usually.
But for IVF, isn't it, they just, so basically you pay for the sperm and there's like, what, 10 million in there or
something? There'll be millions of little swimmers.
And then for IUI, you just put it in, don't you?
Yeah.
In the cafe. But then for the IVF, they take, what did she say, like...
However many eggs they've got. Like, they choose the best ones.
And sperm, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've just paid for 10 million of them dudes. Like, and you're going to take like 3 or something?
Yeah. so we have to do ICSI.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's saying you're doing ICSI.
Because, well, we're not really sure why. They just told us that we had to because we were using donor sperm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know
we
why.
Think it might be because it's frozen and then thawed, and that might have an impact. But we put it out on our Instagram, and
people didn't really get it.
People have different ideas as to why.
Our clinic told us not to freeze sperm because they didn't think it was as good quality. So that might be it.
We're happy to do the ICSI though. Like, we were going to ask anyway because obviously it increases the chances, right? So
hopefully.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing ICSI as well, so hit fingers crossed. And so with the egg sharing, you had to go through some testing for that as well, right?
So many tests.
Yeah, how does that all work?
They took half my blood.
Are you okay?
I'm all right now.
Again, I did a really good job watching.
And so they did just the generic IVF blood tests, but they also did genetic testing to make sure I'm not a carrier for any genetic conditions that we could pass down.
Like cystic fibrosis, wasn't it? And then some other one that I could never even begin to say.
All sorts of stuff that you'd have never thought of. Okay. But yeah.
And that come back fine.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you've just found that out, right?
Just this week found that out, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Amazing. It took 4 weeks. Well, it was meant to take 4 weeks for that to come back. But obviously that was a 4 weeks over Christmas. So that was more like five and a bit weeks.
Yeah, forget about that.
I was like, can you message them? Can you call them? She's like, hey, it's still Christmas. No, I'm not going to phone them on Christmas Day.
Yeah, fair enough. And so what's the next steps then?
Well, we now need to get matched with a recipient, which we found out, well, a voicemail on Friday told me that we had been matched.
Oh, wow.
So we were offered up to a recipient the day that we found out our genetic testing was, well, my genetic testing was clear. They offered me to the first couple on their waiting list, which is about 4 months, they said.
Yeah, 4 months long. Wow. People are a waiting list for people.
That's amazing that you're helping them as well. Like, that's such a nice thing.
I really, really hope. Of course, I hope that we get pregnant, but like, I really hope that like the recipient and Lise does. Like, how amazing would that be? That like, if you both just got everything that you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you find out?
If we ask, we can find out. Yeah.
Okay.
Would you meet them?
No, they'll stay anonymous to us.
Okay.
Likewise with the donor for our sperm, we won't know who they are. When the child is 18, they can find out their last known details.
Okay.
Which will be the same for me. So this child will be able to find my details when they're 18.
Wow, that is incredible, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
I think it's amazing what can even be done. Like.
Yeah.
Science is so cool.
So when do you start the drugs and stuff?
Well, now that we've been matched, I keep missing phone calls from the clinic, as it's always happened. So when I'm trying to call them back, they're again not answering.
Oh yeah, that sounds pretty classic.
Yeah, and we just need to book in some appointments.
So they have to match your cycles, right? So Lucy will have to start to take the pill just to match her cycle with the recipient.
Which baffles me, taking the pill to get pregnant.
It's really
Did you guys do that? Like, did you have to do that?
I actually, on this cycle, I didn't.
They didn't put me on the pill for some reason.
Yeah,
I still don't know why.
Why is it? I don't know.
It's to like regulate your cycle, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
But with this, I think I'd kicked up such a stink about it that I just didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah, and I think I reacted really badly to it a couple of cycles ago, which is why I had to cancel one of them.
See, I've never taken the pill, so who knows?
Oh my gosh.
I've never had any need to.
No, fair enough. Well, you might, you're like, I didn't have any side effects when I took it for 10 years.
Hopefully
you might be fine. Like, I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I felt tired for 10 years.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I came off it and I was like, oh wow, this is what it's
person you could have been.
I could be an athlete. I started running 3 months after I came off the pill.
Oh wow.
And I'd never run before.
Well, there's no coincidence in that.
So can I go back a little bit? Did you guys both know that you always wanted to have kids, or was it something you came to when you met each other?
I've always known I've wanted kids.
Yeah, I've always wanted them. There's a bit of a difference. Like, so everybody always asks how we come to the decision that Lucy had Carrie.
That was on my list.
Yeah, okay.
So it's the way I'm not, I don't know how to say it without like it sounding brutal. Like, I'm not as bothered whether I carry or not. Like, it's not as big of a deal to me.
It'll be our child, and it'll be our child.
And Luce has got more.
I want to do it more.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more of a draw to it.
I'm completely happy for you to do that. If you want to do that.
You don't want stretch marks on the tummy. Yeah. I think that's pretty much what it is.
To be fair, like, it's funny how some women are really drawn to it. Like, I was always like that. I wanted to be pregnant.
Yeah.
Some women are just really drawn to it. Some women are not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm completely ready to be a mom. But if somebody said to me now, oh, Lucy can't do it, you've got to get pregnant, I would probably poop myself. I will be so scared. I'd do it, but I'd be so scared.
I was going to say, but you would
yeah,
do it. You
can't
handle it.
I'd be like, oh my gosh.
And it works well with like work-wise. I've been working in my job for longer.
Yeah.
And your work's very flexible in terms of shifts. She does longer hours and less days, so she'd be at home more.
Okay.
It works better with life as well.
Whereas I seem to work every day.
How has your family and your friends reacted to this? What has everybody said? Has anybody been a dick about it?
So my family have been really good. Okay, everyone, yeah. So my dad was just like really happy because he'd never said it to me, but that was one of his concerns that he wouldn't have a grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really happy when we told him, wasn't he? And my mum.
So was my dad as well.
Yeah, your dad was chuffed. That means happy.
Northern translation.
Love it. Thank you for that. We weren't sure.
And like my grandma was, my grandma's been awesome. She was like knitting little outfits and sent them in the post.
A bit soon,
but it was so cute. Like it just made me really happy how excited she was.
Really cute. We've not received one in a while.
No, we haven't.
Let's have a word.
I think the only kind of, it wasn't necessarily negative, but a couple of people.
A couple of people in my family were a bit wary. Concerns about when the kids are a bit older and them being bullied for having two mums, and also concerns about putting our life on social media and in this process.
We're
sharing a lot, so they were quite concerned about that. But everyone, I think that's just an initial shock, isn't it? It's a big thing, so.
And what would you say has been the kind of biggest challenge so far that you've faced? Is it? As you've been along on the journey,
what is the biggest challenge? I don't know. I guess money would be one challenge since before we started this, we've known we'd be paying for it.
Mm.
And have you had any kind of funding help? Like, have you gone to
no, nothing at all. We've had a bit of help from family, like my dad's.
Yeah, oh my gosh, given that was the cutest thing in the
world. At Christmas, we went to get my Christmas present from my dad, and he gave me a nice big check, and I just cried.
Yeah, don't cry right now.
I'm not gonna cry right now. I'm not a crier, and I just didn't know what to say.
She gave it me to open, so this big present's here, okay, and then this envelope, which she thought was the card, so she goes, here, you can have the envelope,
because it had both our names,
because I'm only interested in the big present.
Lucy just wanted all the chocolate that she knew was in this big bag, and I opened it, and I was like, and she's looking at me, and her dad's looking at me, I just gave the check to Lisa. I didn't know what to do.
But yeah, because we've always known that we'd be paying for it, so we saved a lot before. So the challenge when it wasn't working was making sure we had the money to continue, because we didn't want to stop. But thankfully that's been crisis averted.
Yeah.
Touch wood, as long as it works relatively, not too far away.
Hoping that it works.
What other challenge? Waiting.
Oh my God, yeah. The head fucks.
Yeah, absolutely. The 2-week waits.
My biggest challenge is probably when we've done the negative pregnancy test.
Mm, yeah.
And, like, I've been upset, but when Lucy's got really upset, like, feeling like, oh my gosh, I actually can't do anything to make her feel okay.
Mm.
And that was probably my biggest challenge. Like, it made me so sad and just not knowing what to do. So
I've definitely got in touch with my emotions going through this.
Happen. Oh, yeah.
She said I was emotionless before.
Found it.
I definitely found it.
It's really interesting, because one thing that my husband John has always said is that when we go to our IVF clinic, he feels really left out. Like, they never talk to him. Bless him. They always just talk to me.
Really?
And do you, I mean, Amy, as a woman, do you feel like that, or do they tend to involve you in my
stuff? I think they've involved me quite well, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, there's never been a point.
They might be worried about not involving you.
Yeah, no, there's never been a point that I've, like, really felt discluded from anything.
Okay.
But then you are quite talkative in the appointments.
Yeah. I'll kind of speak up and say things while Lucy's kind of behind that curtain.
Legs
are I'll be asking questions and things so that they can't really ignore me anyway, because I don't really give them a chance to.
And then, and how, I mean, you said there your family were a bit nervous about you sharing everything.
Mm.
How has the YouTube channel gone down? Is it helped?
Absolutely.
Oh, so much. I only cannot explain to you how scared I was to do YouTube.
We've absolutely loved doing it. It was a big shock when we first started because it's very much outside our comfort zone.
Mm.
Very much putting ourselves out there and very much expecting people to take the mickey out of us, like people that we knew.
No, but you know what? Nobody did. In my university friends, I fully expected to at least have the banter with me about it.
Yeah.
And everyone's just been really supportive.
Mm.
And yeah,
we've got to speak to and meet so many amazing people that have just supported us throughout. And if we've ever had any questions or worries, we've been able to put out a video and there's like a flood of comments.
Do you guys have like YouTube buddies in the same way? Like, we, you know,
100%. There's people which like there's like a small group of people which I definitely class as like our proper friends.
Yeah.
And if we were like, most of them live in America and Canada and things, and I will, if we ever went, when we're out there, I'd 100% like say, oh, do you want to hang out? Like,
definitely.
It's been really nice.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
And like, have you, you know, has the response from viewers been universally good?
Yeah.
Have you had any dicks?
You know, like the odd troll that told me I was the devil the other day. I was like, okay, cool, yeah.
So, yeah. We obviously
get the people who search out for like gay channels, lesbian couples, and they comment about how we're going to hell and
but in the grand scheme
all
of
stuff
things,
like that.
I think we've had maybe three.
Yeah, we've not had too many. I expected it to be a lot worse than it was, but the support was massively outweighed.
I think that's the important thing, isn't it? When the noise is actually support and then it's a tiny wee voice that's going, you don't agree with what you're doing. Drowned out by.
It's nice, like, you're living the life of the devil. I was like, okay, cool, thank you.
And so, I guess to kind of wrap up, would you guys have any advice for other couples who are going to go through the same process as you, looking back?
I guess when we initially started looking, we had no idea that the NHS could offer
anything at all.
Mm. So we didn't know that they offered the 6 IUIs and then you get 1 IVF for free. So our only advice, I guess, would be to go to speak to your GP, see what the regulations are in your area. Mm. So if you're eligible to go through that, because it is a bit cheaper than doing it in the private, even paying for the IUIs.
Because you don't pay for them consultations, do you, and the scans,
so my main advice would be speak to your GPs and be a bit
and as I would say, like, as well, like, off more than likely you're gonna get hit by from your GP with I don't know, we don't do it, you need to go private, but just fight it and be like, just push for it. 100%, because if you push for it, you're gonna get there.
Absolutely. Do your research.
Cool. Okay, well, guys, thank you so much. It's been so nice to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Do your research and watch your YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And Instagram.
Actually, what is your YouTube address?
YouTube is youtube.com/OurBigGayJourney. So if you just search Our Big Gay Journey, we'll be there.
And Instagram is Our Big Gay Journey.
Our Big Gay Journey.
Lovely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Now it's time for Ask the Expert.
Yay!
AKA Tim Child.
Professor Tim Child.
Professor Tim Child, Medical Director at Oxford Fertility.
It's so fluid and just...
It just rolls off the tongue.
It absolutely does. So this is an issue that affects, like, a surprisingly high number of people. We've had emails about it before.
Mm.
Gabby's about to read out an email.
Yeah.
But just before my embryo transfer... No one can plan anything around IVF. Like, we all know that. You can't plan anything. If you're starting IVF, don't start planning holidays. It's a terrible idea because your IVF will definitely coincide with it. So I didn't plan any holidays last year at all, except to go and visit Sweden, where my sister lives, for her 30th birthday. Lo and behold, the one time that we managed to do an embryo transfer is around my sister's 30th birthday. So I couldn't go to Sweden and surprise her with the rest of my family.
You couldn't?
Well, I didn't.
You could have.
Yes. But I from a personal point of view, I did not feel comfortable flying because I know that when I have flown, I feel tired, I feel rough. My skin is like wrinkled like a prune. Like, I just, if that's what it does to my body, like, what's it, is that going to help the embryo to implant? Not in my opinion.
Mm.
But... like, you now have this issue too.
I do have this issue because, unlike you, I have been planning holidays. and didn't expect, obviously, because we were doing IVF in January, didn't expect our holiday in March to be impacted by that. But of course
it was.
In a similar twist of fate, we're doing my embryo transfer, maybe doing the embryo transfer right before the holiday, which is, I mean, that, you know, there's so many different arguments, because on the other side of it, you could go on holiday and have a really nice relaxing time, which is exactly what apparently you need to do after an embryo transfer.
Well, before my first one, we went to, no, not before, after my first one, like 2 days after, we went to Cornwall.
Mm.
We just drove down there and had a really nice time and didn't get pregnant.
Mm.
And then we stayed in London for the second one and did get pregnant. Not saying that's why.
People are flocking to London now. Yeah. Must have been in London to make the embryo implant.
Got to be in W11. I'm not saying that's why, but I'm just saying that's what happened.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a tough one. And there's lots of reasons to go. There's lots of reasons not to go.
Yeah.
I think it just depends on what you're comfortable with.
A reader has written there.
But thankfully, yes. We've heard from Lauren in LA. How glamorous.
That is so glamorous.
I'm so excited. And Lauren had this to say. I started IVF in the UK and after it failed, by twist of fate, relocated to LA in 2017. Fast forward to 2018 and we decided we had one more transfer left in us, but the embryos were in the UK. I had to fly back to the UK for my transfer, and on the day after the transfer, flew home to LA. So that's one flight. I am a nervous flyer. I got home to LA on the Thursday and then had an unavoidable work trip to Toronto the following Monday, so flew to Toronto for 5 days during the 2 week wait. And somehow in all of this, the transfer worked. Anyway, before all of this, I didn't want to go on the trip. I was anxious enough about the flight first, and I also wanted to be with my husband, but had no choice. And in actual fact, it ended up being a great distraction, and I don't think it had any detrimental effect. And probably, if anything, the distraction helped me to get through.
So there you go. So there's another view.
And there's all of the many peoples that do IVF abroad.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Zipping back and forth, they are.
Really, I should have gone to see my sister.
I think you should have gone to see your sister. Yeah. And anyway, so I thought we'd also ask Professor Tim, because he's very knowledgeable about these things.
He is. He is very knowledgeable.
And this is what he had to say.
So flying itself's not going to cause a problem with the embryo implanting, as long as though being at altitude is going to stop the embryo implanting or anything at all like that. Obviously, there are plenty of people who are getting pregnant naturally who are flying around all the time and, you know, wouldn't even know about it. The thing about flying is really more about where you're going to, and if you were to have any complications in the place you are going to. Now, I guess this comes down more to the long haul side of things. So the time when complications happen in IVF, particularly OHSS, tends to be after the egg collection and in the run up to the pregnancy test side of things. So therefore, flying somewhere away from your clinic where you could be checked over if you're worried or if you have any symptoms may not be a good idea. And obviously, particularly if you're going maybe long haul to somewhere where you don't know what the healthcare system's like, or maybe you can't even speak the language. And sometimes we do get patients phoning in who have flown off somewhere and they phone in and say they've got symptoms and, you know, what should they do? I mean, it's obviously difficult if we can't actually check them over and do some tests, etc. The other sort of complications that can come on with IVF, which are much more uncommon than OHSS, would be things like infection after the egg collection, so some sort of pelvic infection. And often that does come on around the time of the pregnancy test or after, in fact. So I think for flying, I'd say the bottom line is flying itself is not going to cause a problem. And it's more about where you're going to, and if you were to have any complications, can you be checked over?
Thanks, Professor Tim. I'll pack my passport.
The end of the episode.
That's a wrap, guys.
That was fun.
I hope you all enjoyed it.
Do you feel like you learned a lot this episode?
I really did.
Yeah?
Did you?
I feel better educated as a result.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And that's the name of the game, guys.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it's all about.
Knowledge is power.
Happy shagging.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.